Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Rawson, and it's another Monday evening at 6:30. As you know, this is Claire Whitman's show called An Intuition Journey into the Future. Claire has been traveling and has not been able to do the show for the last couple weeks, as you know. So I've been kind of filling in. I'm kind of waiting to see if she's actually going to call in from the road, but I want to let you know that in her place this evening, I am going to lecture, and I'm also going to be doing readings tonight for everybody. So I see that we have a full board already, and I've talked to a number of you already and have you on hold, so I'll be taking your questions in a minute. So to start off tonight, I want to talk about a couple different topics. One of them came from Rose, who wanted me to kind of talk about the nature of karma. And then Cheryl from California asked me to kind of talk about visitation and spiritual experiences and kind of stories I've heard from talking to hundreds and thousands of people from around the world and the different types of very interesting experiences they've had in their lives. So I'll start with the karma. And, you know, after I talk about these two areas, I'm going to go directly to all of you and start doing readings. So hang in there, and I'll look forward to talking to each of you and, you know, being able to give you those readings. This is Mark Rawson. This is Spiritual Connections Radio. This is Claire Whitman's show on Mondays, every Monday from 6:30 to 7:30. And if you want to find out more about this show or any other show, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. So the question that comes up is karma. This means a lot of things to a lot of different people. So if we talk about karma, we talk about the fact that that there's this idea that, you know, if you do something to somebody in life, that it can come back around to bite you in the butt, as I like to say. And, you know, the idea behind it is that, you know, and it's interesting because if you study in so many different religions, you know, you have so many different sayings from every different religion that kind of all say the same thing. That is, you know, do unto others as they do unto you, you know, and just really the whole golden rule of really treating people the way you want to be treated. If you get into the spiritual areas, you know, there's the idea that if you put love out, if you send love out to an individual or to somebody that's passed over, that love can actually come back to you 100-fold. And there's also the idea that if you do something bad, you know, in your actions and dealing with somebody on a daily basis or, you know, just an interaction you have with somebody in a parking lot, that if you do something bad, that in itself can actually come back around and can show up in your life as something that would have an impact on you also. I think when you talk about the nature of karma, though, you're really talking about like a life-term kind of thing. Like, you know, okay, if I do something really bad in this lifetime, then when I go to reincarnate again, you know, I'll come back and there'll be something really, really bad, or I'll have to live a lifetime of having to make up for what I did, almost like cleaning up your act in another lifetime. So I think, you know, there's so many different ways of looking at karma, but I think the interesting thing is if you take the true nature of just sending out love and seeing how exponentially that comes back, I think about doing something bad and then how that can come back to you. What's really interesting is that it's really hard to be able to actually track one thing to the other. So it's really hard as a person, and most of us, you know, a lot of us try to be present, meaning we try to be present in this lifetime. We try to understand what we're doing, and we're paying attention to all the different things around us. But I think it's really hard to be able to map out and say, well, you know, because I yelled at that lady at the bank last Tuesday, you know, I noticed like a month later that I had a flat tire or something, or, you know, maybe even something that would even fit easier would be like someone yelling at me in a food store and giving me some of that, you know, stuff that, you know, I would kind of walk away from that after the fact and say, boy, that was pretty nasty. I had to deal with that angry person. And I think because things manifest or change over such a long time period, it's really, really hard for us to kind of really put two and two together. I mean, it would be really easy if you did something to somebody and then 3 seconds later you turn around and all of a sudden someone's yelling at you and you're like, well, wait a second, there's a quick turnaround and stuff like that. But I don't think, you know, when it comes to understanding, you know, if we want to call this the today's version of karma, I don't think we can actually put the two together. We can't see that if I do something nice that I see all these excellent things that come together. I don't associate that with what originally I did. And then on the other end of it, you know, what do I see if I do something bad? And then being able to see the ramifications of that. So, you know, I think that's kind of like, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about as it relates to that. You know, just for a second, let me go ahead and I'm going to put you on the spot, Rose. and just ask you, Rose, do you think I kind of covered the bases? And, you know, with that, what, you know, what kind of comment or what other questions would you have off of that?
Well, give me the true definition of karma, because like I told you, people think, oh, if you do something really bad, what comes around goes around, you'll get yours. But for some reason, I don't believe that's what karma means. I don't know. I just want a true definition of karma and not what comes around goes around and you'll get yours.
I think when it really comes to that, and we can talk about contracts and, you know, what is the relationship between what do we look at as being things that we do bad and good, and, you know, are things really bad and good, and what is ramifications of actions? But I think if you look at it, I would give you the terminology. The terminology, if you look at a lot of religions, would say that karma is basically that if you do something bad, it's exactly what you said. It's going to come around to bite you in the butt. If you are going with those people who put that terminology in place with those religions and those belief groups, they specifically believe that you'll actually have to repay and make up for whatever you did in your next lifetime. And, you know, and for a lot of them, they'll even go as far as saying, well, you know, I see this as, you know, okay, I came into this life as this, and then, you know, because I did something bad, I'm going to come back as a slug or something, or somebody's food, or who knows? I mean, it's always some kind of thing. I think that would be the quickest definition.
Okay.
I think if you, you know, because that's, you know, when you think of karma, that's really what you think of. You think of about the traditional eye for an eye kind of, and usually people who talk about karma, they're specifically talking about the nature of that, you know, that belief system of reincarnation, the idea that, you know, if something happens, you're going to come back and have to pay for it in the next lifetime, that there's going to have to be some balance.
Mm-hmm.
I think as far as a spiritual person like myself in this day and age, I think of it more on what I had spoken about earlier, and that is I think there's more ramifications in this lifetime. You don't have to wait until the next lifetime to see it. I think
exactly.
If you do something, yes, I think if you actually do something bad, you will actually see it come around. What I was saying earlier, I think, is that it's really, really hard to correspond or line up. You know, if you were to say, okay, what was something that was bad that happened to you today, you know, you would be really hard for you to kind of line that up and say, well, you know, that's because of something I did last Tuesday. You know, because, you know, most of the time you don't remember it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So thank you for your feedback on that, Rose. I'll put you back here, and then I'll come back and do some. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about that?
No, that's it. Thanks, Mark.
Okay, cool. Let me put you on hold, then I'll come back and do a reading with you in a minute.
All right.
So, you know, one of the things that I was expanding on is I was talking about the idea about, you know, what truly is the nature of our understanding of what is good and bad and as far as what we're doing in this lifetime. And I have a big belief that, you know, a lot of us came down here and we kind of arranged ahead of time before we got here a general idea about how we wanted to see things unfold, the lessons we wanted to learn, and, you know, the different things that we wanted to experience. And I think, you know, as part of that agreement, you know, you can almost imagine a husband and wife and, you know, in heaven before they got here sitting down going, okay, you know, you want to learn how to be independent or something, so I'm going to be the drunk, abusive husband. You know, you'll be the woman who has to go out and make a living and raise the kids on your own. And, you know, okay, so you agree to that. We love each other, you know, because it's love in heaven. No, I mean, there's no negativity or whatever, but it's all a matter of agreeing to these are the things we're going to experience. And then we come down here and then we get into our lives and we forget a lot of, you know, everything that's going on. And also we see all these things unfolding and we see all these experiences. And as we look at these experiences, we kind of look back on them and we're looking at them and we're going, well, wait a second. You know, I'm married to an abusive husband who drinks. You know, he left me. I have to raise the kids on my own. You know, I never had a job and here I am trying to support my kids and, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, what a negative experience on me. So if you look at it from that perspective that, you know, anything, I'm a true believer. And, it's interesting. I just got done training with Denise Lynn out at what we call the ranch out in California for like 14 days doing her soul coaching and past life regression certification training. So I became a soul coach. And as part of that training, one of the things we do is we create timelines, which are really cool projects. You basically get a big sheet of paper and you draw a line down it, and there's all different ways you can do this. So the people that were at the program there had some really incredible things. I was Mr. Draw a Line. So creative, not so-so in that situation. But, what we saw going on is that you would, on the one side of the line, you would kind of start at birth and go to where you were today. And it was kind of moving forward through time. And what you did is on the right-hand side of the line, you marked down everything that was like all your positive experiences in life you can remember. It's like, you know, I remember, you know, graduating from high school, and then I got my college stuff, and my first corporate job, and then I got married, and then my baby girls were delivered, and stuff like that. So you marked like all your experiences that you could remember. And then on the left-hand side, you mark all the things you remember as you were growing up, all those experiences from life of abuse or neglect and abandonment and bad relationships and, you know, getting arrested for drinking or something or whatever it was all down the left-hand side. And it's very interestingly, you remember a lot of the negative stuff and the positive stuff is, you know, it's not that you didn't have anything, but there's definitely a big difference. You can have, you know, 20 things on the right-hand side that were good, and then all of a sudden there's like 43 things, because, of course, the negative stuff, you always remember. And you would kind of look at it. And, you know, it's interesting when you do that project, because one of the things you do is you kind of go down the whole left-hand side of the paper, and you kind of look at it and you say, okay, what is it that I learned? You know, and who am I today because of the experiences I've had? And I looked at all of my experiences, and you know, you look at each of them, you say, yeah, those were some really tough times in my life and everything. But, you know, for some of these things, I'm glad they really happened because they made me who I am today. You know, a hardworking individual who's dependable and honest and really will go the yard for you as a friend. And that's who I am today. And it came from what I was given, you know, as far as the fertilizer growing, you know, the soil growing the tree. And, you know, some people don't want to look at their lives that way. And it's hard because, you know, there's some people have gone really through some real tough times. But if you look at it from the whole spiritual aspect of it, you do kind of realize that all of this was all of the stuff that was what made you grow. It's who created you. It's kind of like, you know, the makeup of the dough and all the materials that made it into the cake and created who you are. And I think the other thing just to add to it is that, like, when you look at the right-hand side of the sheet, you look at it and you have gratitude for all these incredible things you've had in your life, because I think we do kind of concentrate a little bit too much on the negative, and we don't really track or pay attention or give credit to all the incredible things that have happened in our lives. And, you know, when you kind of do that exercise, it gives you a chance to really kind of go through that and really do an inventory and stuff like that. And then the fun piece in the really end of the project is, you know, you give the whole timeline, your whole life. Like if you're going to make it into a movie, you give it a movie title. And, you know, you kind of summarize your life in a movie title and say, you know, this is exactly, you know, what this was. And for me, and I'll share this with all of you and everybody listening, my movie or my title in my life was called In the Shadow of My Mother. So it just... there's a lot to that. It kind of takes my breath away. So, you know, I want to touch on another topic before I start doing readings for everybody. And, you know, in case you just tuned in, you're listening to Claire Whitman's show. She's actually been traveling and has not been able to dial into the show. I've been waiting to see if she's going to actually dial in this evening. She did say she would try to get in on the lines if she could dial in. So I'm going to see if I can pick her up in a few minutes. But the next topic I want to talk about before I go to the readings for everybody is the topic of spiritual experiences and visitations and stuff like that. And that was given to us by one of our callers earlier. I generally, when I think Claire's not going to be here and I have to come up with a topic off the top of my head, I'll generally touch base with one of you and say, so what do you want to talk about tonight? And then I can, of course, go ahead and lecture and bring this in. So I appreciate all you guys tuning in. As always, you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find out more about us at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. So when we talk about different types of spiritual experiences, and there's just so many different stories, I'll start with the first one, and that is when I had just gotten started in my spiritual journey, I had a chance to study with John Holland and a whole bunch of incredible people that I call my friends today. Who are spiritual leaders, teachers, mediums all over the world. And we all kind of met up at the time. We didn't know each other, of course. And we all met up in Maine to train with John Holland. And if any of you have ever done any work with John Holland, he is absolutely the most gentlest, kindest, loving soul. And, you know, I've had a lot of gratitude for having a lot of beautiful people in my life. And he was one of the people that I actually had a chance to train under. And I did my advanced mediumship training with him. Of course, mediumship, for anybody tuning in, is the ability to talk to people who have passed over. And I'll answer the question ahead of time. No, I'm not doing any mediumship tonight. I'll be doing regular readings tonight. But one of the things that was interesting is we were up in Maine, and we were at this hotel that is actually haunted, which is absolutely, I think it's hilarious. It was never planned that way, that we were going to actually do our retreat, or our training retreat, for almost 3 or 4 days at this place. And we get there, and it's funny because, of course, you know, we had probably about 130 people there. And all those all are gifted. So, of course, we're all looking around, and, it, you know, just like you would talk to somebody on the street and say, you know, isn't it a nice day out today? We're kind of like looking and say, yeah, you see the little girl that drowned that's running around in the room, or, you know, do you see the guy over in the corner who, you know, used to be in World War II or something like that? You know, it's just funny because it's just general conversation that you normally wouldn't have with any other group of people or any other gathering that you would attend. So what was really interesting about this is if any of you have ever seen orbs, and, you know, tons of people take orbs, and my friend Lisa, who's a medium up in Massachusetts, does a lot of events up there. Lisa Lano does incredible mediumship work. If you ever get up to the Massachusetts or any of those states in that area, she does events all over the state. She has actually a investigation group that goes down looking the haunted houses and does investigations. And one of the things that she loves doing is she loves looking at pictures of orbs. Well, pictures of orbs are basically pictures you take with your camera that show up as like little circular orbs around someone's head, or it can be an orb that's, you know, around a child or something like that. And most of the time, and Lisa will tell you 9 out of 10 times, these are nothing more than dust particles that the camera picks up on. Now, I have actually seen some really incredible photos where the orbs, and normally what orbs are is they are either signatures of ancestors or angels or other beings that are very, very close, usually like our guides or our guardian angels or something like that. And you can actually, if you take a photograph every once in a while, you can actually see an energy, circle around an individual, either around their body or near their head or something like that. Or you'll see a couple of them. If you ever see any of the pictures of James Gabb Pratt, he's a medium and does a lot of work in the United States. You'll see when he does his mediumship work, you'll actually see like a whole bunch of the orbs. There'll be like 4 or 5 of them around him up on stage. And so Lisa would normally tell you, well, that normally most of the time is just dust particles. And I said, well, it's kind of weird that you have these dust particles that are that big or whatever. And she says, well, it happens. You know, they do a lot of photography investigation and stuff like that. But we went outside one night after doing probably about 6 or 7 hours of mediumship, this is where everybody gets up on stage, takes a turn and brings in and gives evidence that people have passed over, and you go and go and go and go. And so by the time you're done, you probably have brought in probably about 30 or 42 different people have passed over. So as you can imagine, we had a lot of energy. And it was nighttime, and it was kind of dark out, and, you know, you could see the moonlight and everything like that. And we went outside, and we were doing photographs outside by these huge trees, these beautiful trees, probably been there 100, 200 years. And when you go and look at it, you know, because you look at your photographs automatically with your iPhones and everything like that, there had to be 100 to 200 orbs in the area around where we were. And I had never seen anything like that. It was just like one of the most incredible things I've personally seen. I usually hear stories secondhand, and, you know, I can tell you that normally because I do psychic work or I do mediumship work, I know that, like, if I'm working with somebody, I can generally see their pets come in. I've seen horses come in. I've seen, you know, people have passed over. But I don't physically see them. I don't physically see them like you could see, you know, you could see something going down the street. I see it in my mind's eye, almost like if you close your eyes and imagine, I always like to use this as my example. If you close your eyes and you imagine what your kitchen looks like, in your mind's eye, in your imagination, you could tell everybody, you can almost draw the picture in your head and know exactly what your kitchen looks like. Well, that's how I see people have passed over. That's how I see animals and stuff like that. Lots of times it's just an automatic knowing. And I think for another show, we can talk about all the different ways that, you know, people see or use their abilities, you know, which is generally hearing, seeing, knowing. There's some people who can actually feel, like in their body, where they can taste it. And I have a really big sense of taste. So generally, if someone's sick and they come near me, I can normally tell, and also smell. I can normally tell if they're on penicillin. I can actually smell it. Sometimes I'll get a copper taste in my mouth when I'm near somebody. I can generally tell if someone's going through chemo and stuff like that because I can actually sense it or smell it. So, you know, normally for me, I get a lot of those type of things. But, you know, to be able to actually physically see something, you know, just like TV, it's not like you're really going to see stuff like ghosts, you know, as energy flying across the room kind of thing. I mean, you know, that's good for the movies, but the true nature of it, you're more likely to notice that you feel an energy in the room than you actually physically see it. And, you know, you often wonder, would you really want to see it? And, you know, even as mediums, it's funny because I know two of them were in the room celebrating a birthday party. And I think one of the little girls who was playing, one of those that had passed over, had been running through the room. And she actually hit and actually shook a little bit one of the bureaus in the room. The two mediums that were in the room were actually scared. They actually kind of, you know, I think it ranks right up there with, you know, if you're used to picking up snakes, you're not bothered by snakes. But if you're walking through the woods and all of a sudden one jumps out from underneath your feet, it's going to startle you. I think the same thing happens with mediums. We're used to working with people who have crossed over, but they kind of surprise us if all of a sudden they run in front of you and kind of shake something. So that's one example. So we talked about orbs. We talked about how people kind of figure out the different types of you know, things that they can experience. I think another example is because the woman who I called in earlier had asked about, well, you know, what about ghosts and what about visitation and stuff like that? So the question would be is, well, what is visitation? And I'll tell you that for most people who have experiences, and I talk to a lot of people about this, most people who experience people who have passed over will do it while they're dreaming. So you'll be dreaming, and then you'll wake up in the morning, and you'll say, oh, I remembered my grandfather talking to me in my dream about, you know, the fact that I should tighten up my finances a little bit. And you know it's actually your grandfather, and you know that there was some type of lesson. You can see the characteristics of what your grandfather was like and all that. And in those situations, normally that's what we call visitation. And that means that instead of your grandfather appearing to you and, you know, kind of giving you, you know, appearing in front of you, or you all of a sudden could sense it and he's giving you information, most spirits can't do that. It requires a certain level of energy. They have to have a certain time period of been reincarnated enough times to have the experience to be able to control their energy that much to actually shift into what we call this lower vibration third dimensional world to actually be able to come over. And some of them do for the process of giving messages or making a connection, but even in those situations, you're using someone who has psychic abilities or intuition abilities, who has the added gift of being a medium, which means that you can actually have your vibration change enough that you can actually communicate with somebody who actually is coming in from what I call heaven or the other side. And what I'm saying about this is that unless you're using a medium, most people who have passed over will come to you in your dreams. So, you know, and I think if you talk to anybody around a nice dinner party or the next sports party or whatever, I don't know if you want to do it to your next sports party, you know, right between the nachos and the buffalo wings, talking about, oh, yeah, grandma came through last week, you know. But what you notice about that is that a lot of people actually share that common idea that there is people who have passed over and they have come through in their dreams. And that's where you'll have those type of visits. And the reason why that's possible is because your conscious mind actually takes down its defenses. You don't have all the noise of everything you're doing in your life going on. And from that space, you're able to make that connection with somebody and, you know, to actually have them come in and they can bring in, they can actually get into your dream and just kind of give you that information and, you know, give you the message and everything like that. So, you know, that's normally, I would have to see probably the most common spiritual contact that exists. Trying to think if there's anything else I want to talk about that as nature of experiences. I think that's it. I think at this point I'll just do just a quick commercial break for everybody, and then I'm going to go to the phones and start doing readings for everybody. So for a heads up on the readings tonight, I'm actually using two different decks of cards. I can't actually direct and do what's called channeling, which is give you direct information, but I have fun doing cards, especially when I'm doing readings on the phone. The readings this evening are actually going to be a little bit longer than they were the other day. I don't know if any of you were listening last week, but I was kind of just pulling one card for people, and I was just giving a quick answer. So today we're going to go a little bit further with the readings, right? If we can try to see with the time that we have, if I can just kind of almost give everybody a nice reading and kind of connect with everybody and get your questions answered versus giving you a card that could apply to something in your life. With that, though, I am actually going to be working with two different decks today. One is they're actually both Doreen Virtue decks. I actually have trained with Doreen Virtue for a number of years and love all her angel work. And I love her decks of cards. And they're called Oracle decks. And the one I'm going to be using, I'm actually using two of them. One of them is called Daily Guidance from Your Angels. That's the one I'll probably be using for most of the reading. And then if any of you come in with my I always love when people ask me questions about romance and, you know, when am I going to meet somebody and all that kind of stuff. I have Doreen Virtue's Romance Angels cards, which I absolutely love. So we're going to be actually working with both of those. And I'm going to actually do a quick commercial break while I get both of those cards out and get them ready and tell you that you are listening to the Whitman Show. And she's on every Monday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also listen to all our shows are available for replay. And you can go up to the website www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And you'll see the link for the shows, and you'll see all the information on all the shows. And if you actually go to the link for the radio show, that brings you to where all the shows are listed. We are actually, we just recently created a archives page on our website, which is available at the top of the website, which is called Archives. And if you click on that, you'll actually see a listing of, like, I think the last 20 or 30 shows. And we've been trying to keep that up to date, but with the fact that I've been traveling, and if for anybody who's been keeping track of me, I'm actually in Pennsylvania right now. And I think if you were talking to me last week, I was actually broadcasting live from Asheville, North Carolina. So I've been kind of moving across the country and meeting a lot of incredible people. And just haven't had a chance to really keep the archive up to date. So you could start with archive, and then if you wanted to look for more, all the shows are actually available through the Blog Talk Radio under Spiritual Connections Radio. All the shows are listed in archive there. But I have been trying to move them over to the website so they're easier for you to find. So let me go ahead and I'm going to bring Rose on first. And while I got Rose on the phone, Rose, are you there?
I'm here, Mark.
Excellent. So thank you for those questions and everything. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm just kind of shuffling a couple decks of cards here. And I'm not mixing them. So I've got one there on that side that's for guidance, and I've got the romance angels on the other side. So what is your question tonight?
I wanted to know what you see for me with regards to work. I've been out of work, so I'm hoping to find a job in the very near future.
Okay. Now, what you guys are going to find tonight as I talk to all of you is that I'm going to give you the first thing that comes to my mind before I even pull the cards. So the first thing that comes to mind is there's a couple different things that are really important about anything in our lives. It doesn't have to be any particular topic, but because Rose brought up talking about jobs, I will tell you that it's really important to kind of take the time to do two things. First is to sit down, get a piece of paper, and write out what the perfect job would be for you. Now, sometimes I like doing that as writing a letter. I write to my guides and say, you know, dear, you know, one of my guides is Mary, one of my guides is Stephen. And I'll actually write to my guides and I'll say, dear Mary and Stephen, you know, I've been out of work for a certain amount of time and I'm looking for a job where people appreciate the work I do. And, you know, it's going to be a place where I feel nurtured and, you know, I make a good salary and I feel like I'm making a contribution. I get part of a team or I get to work alone at home or... And you basically, without putting any type of limitations into it, and, you know, a lot of people out there who have studied this, you kind of know how to do green boards, or manifestation projects, laws of attraction kind of stuff. You really just want to write out, and I love the letter format. I think that's the easiest one to do. But you could do it in anything. You could just make a punch list of everything you look at. You do not want to put anything negative down, because remember, the universe does not understand no or can't or... You know, like, you know, I don't want a job like I had, you know, the universe hears, I want a job like I had. And then you're back in a lousy situation where you were before. You know, relationships work a lot that way, too. I do not want the same type of partner I had last time. Okay, you do want the same partner. Got it. We'll line that up with somebody else to give you the same thing. So really important to kind of sit down, write up that sheet of paper, think about, you know, what it is that you really want. Keep the negatives off. If you do need to go to negatives because you can't really think about how to create it, write down all the negatives. I mean, all of us know what we don't like about a relationship or we don't like about a job. If you have to start with that, don't do it on that sheet of paper for creativity. Do it on a separate sheet. Create a punch list of what you don't like from that. Turn it into positive statements. So if you say, you know, I don't like a job that requires me to work all the time, you know, then you want to turn around and say, you know, I want a job that's going to afford me, you know, leisure time to work on my hobbies or something. You know, you want to kind of turn it around into something positive instead of having anything that's negative in your creation. And as you know, with the universe, they're not going to really drop one in your lap. You really have to, you know, get out there, get the resumes out, do your piece, put the energy into it beyond, you know, the normal stuff of creating it on the sheet of paper. Almost, I love Summer's work on flow dreaming. If you guys have ever done any flow dreaming, it's great to kind of sit down and daydream and think about being in the flow. A lot of that goes back to some of the teachings of Abraham and laws of attraction about being in the flow and really kind of putting yourself. Can you feel it, taste it? Can you see yourself in the job? You know, just that kind of stuff. And, you know, as part of that process, you know, you want to really think about what's important to you because lots of times if I told you, you know, Rose, I can have a job for you in 30 seconds. Just tell me what you want. You'd be like, I want money. Okay, so I can get you a job that makes money, but you got to work 100 hours a week. And you have to commute 6 hours. Or you have to go and live somewhere across the globe. So, you know, it's really important to think about what's important and then kind of manifest that. And so with that, I will go through and ask you and put you on the spot. Have you thought about what it is that you want to do?
Oh, I know exactly. I've been doing the same thing for 35 years. I just can't find a job right now.
Okay. Well, here's the better question, because this is the next question I always ask everybody, especially people who go through transitions. I spent 25 years in the corporate world, and I am doing spiritual work now. And I'm glad I'm not in a computer center anymore. So the question would be is, are you doing what drives you, what what you find is your passion, because most people
absolutely.
Don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, great. So you want to make sure, as always, that you know what your passion is. You know, my grandfather used to have a saying. He says, if you're going to be a trash man, be the best trash man you can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not putting anything against trash men. It's talking about the fact you want to have passion for what it is that you're doing in life. And I think for a lot of people in this world, they don't. They do what makes the money. They do what their parents told them they were supposed to do. You need to become a doctor. Or, you know, you need to go get this job because it pays X amount of money and it's the highest income you're going to make and stuff. But, you know, most of the people who go to work hate their jobs. They hate what they do. And
well, they
what's really
grateful
important
that they have a job, because things are very bad. And if they hate their jobs, they should be thankful they have a job. That's all I have to say, because
mm-hmm.
I've been out of work and it's not fun. It really isn't.
Yeah. So, you know, the other thing is we can talk about the fact that we want to always keep something positive in mind, and also the fact that we should have gratitude for what we have.
Right.
I had a friend sum it up to me the other day, because I was crying about something. You know, it's like, I don't have any money. I can't pay my bill this week. And she goes, did you get out of bed this morning? Were you able to walk? You know, were you able to see? And if you have to start with gratitude, you can start right there with the basics. And, you know, from there, you know, then you can expand out more and more and more. But sometimes, you know, life is so tough sometimes, you got to go back to, you know, am I able to actually walk? You know, am I, did I wake up and am I healthy today? And kind of go to that. So let's take a look. So, okay, so we're going through the punch list. You know what you want to do. You've kind of, like, put it together. You know exactly where you want to go. The question would be is, what is it that, excuse me, what is it that, you know, have you put the resumes out and stuff like that? And I actually lost Rose. She actually dropped off. So I'm going to go ahead and just pull a card and just go ahead and finish this up for her, and then I'll move on to everybody else. Okay. So the card that came up, it says, notice the sign. Yes, the signs you've been receiving are heaven sent. We drop feathers, coins, and other signs upon your path to remind you that you are loved and never alone. And I think a lot of us get in those situations. We get in these really tough situations where we've been unemployed. We've been in really tough situations where we get into spaces we never thought we would ever be. And I think what's important is that you always have to remember that the angels are there. You have loved ones that are there. You have a great support team that's there. They're giving you a signal, Rose, to just tell you that they're there for you and that you're never alone. And no matter how hard life gets, just always remember that. And remember that you need to, on a daily basis, ask for your guides and your angels and everything to give you assistance. You know, ask them to come in and bring in a job. You know, ask them to line you up with a great opportunity that's going to be a good fit for you, that's going to be for your highest good. And another thing that I'm getting off this card is talking about the signs. It's talking about the fact that you need to pay attention to stuff. Are you getting asked to maybe move to a different part of the country and be closer to family? You know, that generally signs like that will give you indicators that probably once you get into that new area, or if you move or go do something different, that it's going to line you up with something on where you're supposed to be, such as a great job opportunity that's not in a space that you would normally go. So for me, I know this past year, I was living in Tampa, Florida, and I actually ended up in California for a job. And, you know, if you had asked me in December if I was going to be in California in January, I would tell you, you were out of your mind. You know, who goes halfway across the country for a job? And sure enough, that's where the opportunity was. So they're telling you to a couple things from this card. They're telling you you're not alone. It's the idea that you should ask for guidance, ask for assistance, because you don't have to do this on your own. You know, for people out there who want to do the prayer work, you can pray for it. And also what we were saying is that they're giving signs. They're giving you indications of things you need to do. And, you know, the interesting thing for a lot of us is that we don't want to do it. You know, the last thing I wanted to do was move from Tampa to California. You know, what a hassle. I mean, who likes moving? Unless you own a moving company, you make making money, and even then, I don't think they like to move. So, thanks a lot for your call, Rose, and of course, your input on giving us our topic for tonight for talking on the show. Rita, you were on here.
Hi.
How are you?
Good,
so
good.
How did
you
like
doing?
Our discussion about spiritual things and everything tonight?
Good, good. Very good.
Okay, what is your question, Rita?
Well, my question, I wanted to know about my future, too, a little bit, see what's going on with me, and I would like to know what the future is going to bring me, which I lost a lot.
Okay, so should I go to the romance deck? Is that where we're going, or
yes.
Do I want to? Yes, okay,
yes.
I love it. I
yes.
love your... I love you, Rita. We're going to go with Angel. I love this romance deck, and it's absolutely incredible. So
okay,
I'm
going to
go ahead and pull three cards for you here about this, and then we'll kind of we'll take it beyond the cards and make it something that kind of really connects with you. So the first card that came up is called the Passion card, and it says allowing your heart and your soul to sing with joy as far as what you're looking for. Now, if you were listening to what I was saying earlier, it's like the same thing applies. One of the key things you want to do, and I'll kind of give this a different twist when you talk about relationships.
Okay.
The first thing is you need to understand what it is that you learned about yourself from the last relationship you were in.
Right.
And the second thing is you got to let go of that second. You got to let go of that last relationship. You have to let go of that energy because the universe will always line you up with something next. Okay.
Okay.
And what determines what that next looks like is based on the fact that you, A, did your homework and you learned what you needed to learn. Because if you didn't learn from the last relationship about yourself or something about yourself that might have been adding into, you know, that last relationship being successful or not or whatever the outcome was, what's going to occur is you're going to show up in the next relationship and it doesn't matter how great it is. Within 2 or 3 months, if you haven't done the homework and learned about who you are and what you bring to the relationship, with a new person, you're going to generate the same situation. Find anybody who's been married 5 times and ask them what the variable is. What is the common variable? And so with this, you have the understanding that in relationships, you want to make sure that you understand what you needed to learn from the previous one and that you've let go of that energy. You don't have that, well, maybe I can go back to that person or... you know, I miss them and I wish that relationship could exist or, you know, yeah, that other person over there is really cool, but, you know, I'm thinking about the memories I had with that other relationship. Well, you got to let that go. You got to let that relationship go, you know, good or bad, whatever. You bless it for what it was. You try to take what you can that you learned from it and you move on into something else. And when you let go of that energy from that last relationship, then the universe opens up and brings in something else. They don't normally do that if you're already in a relationship or if you're still hanging on to one, because then you end up with something that's not really a good fit or you end up with you just don't end up with anything. So you want to make sure you're kind of doing that. Just like we did with the work assignment, it's really important to sit down, think about who you are. What did you learn about the last relationship? What was good about it? What was bad about it? And based on that going into the new relationship, what is it that you really want in your life? And you need to kind of really sit down and do that homework and stuff to really think about it because you don't, you know, because otherwise you're not going to really get what's a good fit for you. So what's coming up here is allowing your heart and your soul to sing with joy. It's kind of opening and having that passion, really just being yourself, putting yourself out there so that you're not someone who's fake, just really who you are. And then having someone come into your life that likes you for who you are and isn't trying to change you.
Right.
The next card that comes up says new love. And it says a new person has stirred your romantic feeling. So it sounds like there's a possibility that this new person that's coming into your life, you've actually probably already met. It might have been somebody in passing. It might have been somebody at some event that you have in common. So it sounds like from this card here, it sounds like you've actually had an introduction on who this new person is that's going to come into your life. So it's really important, like I said, that you make sure you clean up behind yourself so that you have the most success as far as who you are showing up in this new relationship.
Right.
The next card is stay optimistic about your love life. Positive thinking and faith will bring your romance. And it's that whole idea of just not getting slumped into that. You know, I was talking to my friend the other day, and she's been looking for a partner, and she hasn't really found anybody, and she's kind of really down on it, and she's been waiting like a year now. And she is just really, really sad about it. She's like, you know, I get up and all I can think about is the fact that I got to like go out with my friends tonight and I'm the only one that's single or you know, something like that. And there's nothing wrong with being single, but for her, it's like, you know, she really wanted that, you know, that companion to be there.
Right.
So it's really important to really keep your positive thinking up.
Right.
And have faith and know that the universe is going to bring into your life a really good fit for you. And you just got to trust the process. And just as I say with the job thing, you got to put yourself out there. You got to, you know, you're not going to find somebody if you're in your office or hiding in your house all the time. You got to get out there, get into places where you find things that interest you, where you're going to find somebody who, you know, is going to have something in common with you. And from that space, that's where you're going to be. So there's some variables that kind of come in play. So normally I could really easily tell you, you know, you've already met the person. You know, you need to stay positive about the whole thing. You know, just keep the passion in place there. Be who you're going to be. And I would say normally you would probably have somebody in a good relationship in probably about 3 months. But as you say, with all these things, there's some variables there that you have control over, such as are you getting out? And that doesn't mean you need to go out like every single day to do this. So we don't want to go crazy. And
right.
Have you done the work? Have you gone back and looked at yourself and figured out what you needed to learn? Have you sat down with a sheet of paper and written down what it is that you want in the characteristics of this next person that's coming in? And I'll share a story with you really quickly, Rita, and tell you I was working with somebody who was doing an assignment like this, and I like to call them dream boards. She had actually put down on her dream board exactly what she was looking for, and she left off one characteristic. And sure enough, a partner came into her life, and that partner had all the characteristics and had some stuff she hadn't put on the list. When you're creating these things, you always want to put a couple variables in place, and this works for everything in your life when you're trying to create something. You want to put in some verbiage that says this or something better, because you have no idea what's capable as far as what could come into your life. We say, and I've done the Landmark Forum, we say in the Landmark Forum, you know what you know and you know what you don't know, but you don't know what you don't know. And that's confusing for some people. But so the end result there is when you're creating things, make sure you always put verbiage in your affirmations or your letter to your guides on what you're looking for to say when you're finally done at the very end, I want this or something better. And that kind of leaves the door open and stuff like that. And you try not to tie it down with too many variables like, person has to work in my office, they have to live near me within 2 minutes, they have to have everything in common with me, and then the universe kind of gets playing down on all the options. So you just went from the pool of, you know, 14 people that could be good partners down to one person and they lived on the other side of the world. So, you know, watch how much you tie down the variables as far as what I call it tying the hands of the universe as far as being able to create something for you. So with that, I would say that, like I said, a lot of this is I'm sorry, I'm kind of bouncing around. I want to make sure I told you everything about the piece of paper, and that is you want to make sure that you leave it open. You don't put too many variables in there that's really going to tie the hands of the universe. You know, it's kind of like manifesting money. You don't want to say, I only want to win money if I win the lottery. Well, what if someone was a friend and gave you money? You know, does that mean you're not going to take it? So you don't want to tie your options off. Yeah, right? You're definitely going to take it. Going to give me money? I'll take money.
Yeah, anybody takes money.
So you definitely want to be able to leave your options open. The other thing, I think that kind of covers all the bases on that. So like I said, a lot of this actually has a lot to do with you. You know, how much you're putting yourself out there. Have you done the work? Have you thought about what you want to bring into your life? And there's kind of putting the energy behind it. So 3 months, if you can kind of cross your T's and dot your I's, but there's some choices in there for you. You know, you might find that you might need some time to let go of that last relationship before you move into something else. And sometimes the universe will hold you up. You know, I always say the word incorrectly. I want to say, is it called the bereavement process? You know, like when someone normally dies, you go through that process Well, we have those with relationships, and you really need to kind of let go and everything of that last relationship, let go of that energy. I kind of hinted about that in the beginning, but I didn't talk about it in the nature of what it's like if you're, you know, getting with someone who's passed away. But it's the same thing. It's the same process, and it has the same steps of dealing with it. You go through the anger. You go through the regret. You go through the, you know, questioning if you made the right decisions, and not when something passes away, but when you leave a relationship. So you go through all the stages as though that person has died, and that's part of the process. And you really want to make sure you're clear of that process and everything before you step into another relationship, because otherwise you're almost the wounded lover coming into it, and you don't want to bring that into a relationship because you're almost jeopardizing it right off the bat. So good luck, and I wish you great luck for that, and thanks a lot for your question, Rita.
My question, so that was all good. And,
great, thank you. Hi, you're on with Mark. Is it Tanetta?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, so are we doing romance or are we doing other?
We are doing a time frame question. I would like a time frame of when you see a certain thing happening. And I had three live visions. So I know it's going to happen, but, you know, I don't know when it's going to happen. So it could happen in 2 weeks. It could happen by the end of October. I don't know. So that's why I'm calling you up.
Okay, well, give me just a little bit more. Tell me, is this relationship related? Is this a business deal? Are you closing on a house? Are you waiting for a new job opportunity? Are you going to find out if your contract is renewed? Give me some category.
Okay.
I can narrow this down, because there's a lot of things that are actually changing for you over the next 3 to 6 months. So I need you to narrow this down for me.
Okay, sure. And, I mean, I'm open to whatever you also need to tell me that's also changing. But normally, how my visions work is normally I'm either asleep or fully awake, and they just pop in my head, and the vision will happen the way that the vision is shown. Like the one vision came to pass, and it took about 3 weeks, but the vision showed the man that I'm involved with romantically coming to my door. I seen a gray T-shirt. I seen it was dark out. And I seen that he came to my door. That's all I saw. Don't you know, Friday night, you know, 2 weeks ago, he came to my door. It was dark. He had the gray T-shirt on. So these are how my visions appear, just the way they appear. So this is
a beautiful gift for you.
Yes. Okay. So what happened was, after this man appeared at my door, okay, who I'm involved with, and I had recently broke it off with him. So I had thought he was not coming back. So what happened was,
let me cut you off short, because, you know, as all psychic stuff, we can kind of, and some of the bad ones out there can kind of rip you off on this. I don't need a lot of info. Just give me a category. What is it that you want to know?
Okay. Well, what I want to know is, basically, it is romance, okay? So what happened is, what I need to know is, when is this man going to be moving his items in my home? The vision first showed me that he's going to be moving.
Don't give me any more info.
Okay.
Okay. So basically, you want to know when he's moving in.
Right, but they showed it in steps. They showed the flat screen coming first, and then 3 days later, a pile of his shoes are in my bedroom closet. So, and then 3 days after that, he was in my kitchen cooking food.
Okay, so let's go a little bit tighter. When do you want to know? You want to know when he's finally settled in, or when he's going to come up with the first thing showing up?
Yeah, when is he coming in with the first item, the flat screen TV or the box of shoes or whatever he's doing?
Okay, let's see where we're going. There seems to be a little bit of concern. I'll just kind of give you what I'm getting here. It seems to be a little bit of concern that he's kind of got a little bit of commitment issues. It's not too much of an issue. He seems very, very serious about the... Yeah, he has a very serious, he's very serious about the relationship, but I think because of the fact that it is so serious, he is a little bit frightened about making this commitment. He is feeling very comfortable, and I think I'll kind of go to another topic just for a second and tell you that trying to think who told me this. I hear so many things from so many people. I think it was Sylvia Brown had said, if you want a guy to show up, make sure it's a comfortable environment where they feel like they're at home. You know, I don't think that means you have to build, I don't think that means you have to build the man cave, but you know, it definitely, you definitely want them to feel comfortable. Do they have space? You know, do they have a place to put their things? You know, is there part of the sink in the bathroom where they can put down their stuff, you know, or,
right.
you know, and stuff
and
like
I
that. So let's go ahead and pull a card on this.
Right, and I think he feels very comfortable here because he does spend the weekends here. He takes his shoes off right when he gets in the door. You know what I mean? He plugs his phone in on the nightstand. I think he feels comfortable here.
Okay, great. So I got the same card that we had for Rita on the last one, and that is stay optimistic about your love life. Positive thinking and faith will bring your romance. And what this is basically telling me is that you want to let go of this, you know, I know this isn't the way you feel, but I'm going to nail it right and just say it sounds like you're desperate. I know that's not where you are. Okay, but your energy sounds desperate. It sounds like you're like you almost want to, like, you know, go help this guy pack up and like force him into the house. And
it's
I know that's not your intent. I know you really care for this person. I know you want this to happen. You know that this feels good and stuff like that. But it's going to go easier and it's going to occur faster if you just take a step back, think about it in a positive way, just be. And I'm not saying that this relationship is going to end. That's not the case. But I'm going to tell you, enjoy the relationship for today. Be present. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the future. Enjoy the time with this individual today and just let it go.
Right.
Just be. And when you can be and when you can let go of this, it's almost like when you're trying to manifest money and then you sit there and go, I don't have any money. I don't have any money. I love when Abraham does that.
Right.
You know, when Esther does that, I don't have any money. Beat the drum. I don't have any money. I don't have any money. It's like, when's it going to move in? When is he going to move in? You know, boom, 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 boom. That's a lot of energy you don't want to put out there. It creates anxiety. If he's very sensitive in any way spiritually, he's going to pick up on that as something that doesn't quite feel right. And he's already kind of got a little bit of commitment issues. And when he feels that type of energy, he's going to be scared. He's going to be like, you know, it reminds him, don't spook the horse. You know, it's like, you know, he's coming to the water.
That's what I've been noticing. With dating him for over a year now, he kind of seesaws. He'll come in real, real close, and then he runs away. And then I'll try texting him, and he'll be distant. He won't text me back. And I just say, okay, I don't know what the deal is. He needs a space. And then, you know, he'll come circling around again.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and finish and wrap it up because we're hitting the end of the show. But I want to just tell you that the best way of letting this happen is just to enjoy today with him and not worry about tomorrow. Let go of that energy. You have a lot of energy that's actually – you're actually your own worst enemy in the situation because you're generating so much energy here that you're almost pushing him away, and I know that's not what you're trying to do. So just let it go and let it be, and what you'll see is when you let that go and stuff like that, you're going to probably see him move really in really quickly. I would say that if you can take that step back and just enjoy the relationship for today and be present and let go of that energy – I would say that he should be fully moved in within 2 months. They would. So thank you for calling, and I appreciate everybody calling, and I apologize if I didn't get to your calls. I was trying to give everybody longer readings today so that everybody got a little bit more meat than what I was doing last time with just pulling cards on everybody, which I'm not giving them much info. So I do appreciate all of you calling. Hopefully, when you tune in next week, we'll have Claire on. I love working with her. She's an incredible psychic. She works out of New York, and you can see her website if you go out there to her website. She also has paid readings, and she is at www.thehealinggallery.com. And we'll be looking forward to having Claire Whitman on with us Monday, 6:30 next week. And I really appreciate all your calls and feedback. You've been listening to Mark Ross on Spiritual Connections Radio. And you can find out more about me, the other radio shows, and all the great people that we have on, sharing all their talents and everything with you And that's at our website, www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Good night, everybody. Enjoy life. Be present. Love each other. And I will talk to you later. Bye.